Well, God bless you. Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18. This will be the 42nd message in our study through the book of Revelation. We'll be in Revelation chapter 18. Start reading in verse number 1. This will be page, what did I tell you? What did I say earlier? Page
125.
Page 125 in your notes. If you have your notes with you, be page 125 in your notes. Revelation chapter 18, let's begin reading in verse number 1. We're going to read the first 10 verses of Revelation chapter 18. I'm under a lot more pressure than I normally would be this morning, folks, because it's already been stated that I certainly would be finished up in time this morning and all. So I'm really feeling pressured over that, so I've got to move right along here. And if I did that, of course, it would be the first time I've ever done that. So, I don't know where that came from, brother, but anyway, I appreciate the compliment, you know, to even insinuate that I was capable of that. So, Revelation chapter 18 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth, who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her, when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come." Folks, I'd like to you take note of verses 8 and 10. In verse number 8, it says that the judgment of great Babylon here would take place in one day. In verse number 10, as well as numerous other times throughout this chapter, the Bible also tells us that not only does this destruction take place in one day, but in fact, the judgment that's going to take place on great Babylon will take place within 1 hour of that day. Before I begin our thoughts here, let me give some general thoughts and kind of set the stage for where we're at in our thoughts here in chapter 18 this morning. Chapter 18 details the destruction. This is in your notes, the destruction of political commercial Babylon. As has been previously discussed, I believe that this is the literal city of Babylon. Now, folks, keep in mind, if you read after different good fundamental, and I only make mention of fundamental, folks. I don't pay any attention at all to the liberals that deny and pervert the Word of God. But if you read very many commentaries, you'll find out that there's not agreement among good fundamental Bible-believing men as to who this Babylon is. Now, my opinion and my position is, when you get to chapter 18, that Babylon here is literally the rebuilt city of Babylon. As we stated through our study, I believe that in chapter 17, Mystery Babylon, is the religious aspect of Babylon. I believe that it was headquartered in the city of Rome. It's destroyed in the middle of the tribulation period. When you get to chapter 18, now we're going to see the commercial and political aspect of Babylon. I believe that this is indeed the literal city of Babylon. It has been being rebuilt since the rapture of the church. By mid-tribulation, all is ready. The great harlot of chapter 17, the religious aspect of Babylon has been destroyed. And remember, in the middle of the tribulation period, the Antichrist, proclaiming himself to be God, set his image up in the temple of Jerusalem and has proclaimed that all the world must worship him and him only. So I see this as the literal rebuilt city of Babylon. Some very good Bible commentators see all of this as the city of Rome. They think that the first part, their position would be that in the first 3.5 years, that it's a reference to the city of Rome, and that even in chapter 18, that Babylon is just a spiritualization, if you will, of the city of Rome, and they would see all of this as the city of Rome. So basically, there's three positions. One position is that all the way through the tribulation period that the mention of Babylon is talking about actually the city of Rome. Another position is that all the way through the tribulation period that Babylon is the city in view from the beginning to the end. The third view, and the view that I hold and the case that I've made during the study, is that both cities are in view. I see the first 3.5 years, I see Mystery Babylon as being the literal city of Rome that is destroyed in the middle of the tribulation period, this chapter 17, the great harlot, and then the headquarters of the beast, the Antichrist, Satan, in the last 3.5 years, is the literal city of Babylon. And that's what I see taking place here. Now, if we went back, remember, chronologically, if you went back to chapter 16 and the last of the plagues that are poured out, the bowls of God's wrath, the seventh plague is poured out in chapter number 16, starting with verse number 17 and going through the end of that chapter. Now, chronologically, if we were to keep the movement of time going through the book of tribulation, through the tribulation period, through the book of Revelation, if we kept time moving, when you ended the seventh vial judgment in chapter 16, you would jump over to chapter 19 and verse number 11 with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ riding on the white horse. If you were to continue the narrative time-wise, that's what you would do. However, God has came back now, as has been done oftentimes in the book of Revelation. God has came back now in chapter 17 and 18, and He's filling in some details that are going to take place. And that's where we're at. That's where we're at here in chapter number 18. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 18. It says, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory." If you compare chapter 18, verse 1, and chapter 17 and verse 1, you would see that these, and understand that these two chapters are divided as far as their content. Chapter 18 is not merely a continuation of what we saw in chapter 17. In chapter 17 and verse 1, it says that there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, "Come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore which sitteth upon many waters." When you get to chapter 18 and verse 1, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power." So God is showing us a distinction between the contents of chapter 17 introduced by an angel and the contents of chapter 18 introduced by another angel. Some would hold that the angel of verse number 1 is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. I do not hold that view. I believe that this is a very powerful angel. But I do not see this as the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And verse number one. Verse number two, the Bible says, "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hurtful bird." The fall of Babylon had been briefly foretold on two other occasions. In chapter 14 and verse number 8, the Bible had said, "And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Folks, isn't it amazing? We've looked at it in detail when we were there. In chapter 14, you had the various angels flying back and forth in the sky. You say, "Brother Kirkpatrick, you mean these angels flew around in the sky. The people on earth could see those angels. The people on earth could hear what the angels were saying." That's exactly right, folks. The Bible says in chapter 14 and verse number 6 that one angel flew in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those that dwell on the earth. And it says that every nation and kindred and tongue and people heard the preaching of the everlasting gospel. Much is said about what that gospel is, folks. I believe it is simply the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's been much effort on the part of Bible commentators to try to make various distinctions on different applications of the gospel and all, but the bottom line is this angel was preaching the gospel, and every person of every nation was able to see the angel flying back and forth in the midst of heaven, or literally in mid-heaven, if you study the meaning of the word. The angel flew back and forth and preached the gospel. Another angel had foretold the destruction of Babylon that we're studying now in chapter 18. There in verse number 8, he said, "As if it had already happened, Babylon the great is fallen. The angels went on in chapter 14, and one angel proclaimed in the heavens for all to hear in advance. There could be no mistaking it. The angel proclaimed that any person that took the mark of the beast would be doomed. You see, folks, everyone that took the mark of the beast at about the middle of the tribulation period, that made the decision to go ahead and do that, knew what they were doing. They had been warned by an angel flying in the midst of heaven. In chapter number 16, verse 19, again, we saw the fall of Babylon foretold. It says, "And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nation fell." Now remember in verse 19 of chapter 16, the great city is the city of Jerusalem, and the cities of the nation fell. And then the Bible says, "And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of His wrath." So we see here in chapter 18, the destruction of Babylon is taking place, as has already been brought before us on other occasions in the book of Revelation. In verse number 3, this is the capital of the worldwide empire, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." Folks, the Bible had prophesied, and there's much we could say about this, but I want to try to be as brief as possible this morning. The Bible had prophesied at a time when world commerce would once again be taken back to the site of ancient Babylon. Now remember, in chapter 17, we saw the mother of harlots. That's the great ecumenical church, if you will, that's in existence in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. That great religious monstrosity, if you will, was responsible for the death of untold millions of the true believers, the true people of God, during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. That religious entity in the first 3.5 years was headquartered in Rome, but it was far more than just the Roman Catholic Church. It was all the religions of the world joined together, and we say that based on the fact that it's referred to Mystery Babylon. And remember, we went back to the beginning. All false religions, are you listening? All false religions have their root, or their basis, or their beginning in the first Babylonian empire. The empire that was started by Nimrod, that became Babylon. That was the foundation of all false religions. Now, we're talking today about the political and the commercial aspect. I would add to the fact now that all false religion had its basis in ancient Babylon. I would add to that this fact that all commercial and all political godlessness also had its beginning in the ancient city of Babylon. I want to turn and read one reference in the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 5 and verse number 9. The Bible says, "And I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephod between the earth and the heaven. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, Whither do these bear the ephod? And he said unto me, To build it an house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon her own base." Folks, there's a very interesting prophecy there. I would draw your attention, first of all, to this fact that these two women are not angelic beings here. A stork is an unclean bird. You see two women identified as women. They had the wings of a stork. They're carrying the ephod. Now remember what the ephod is. The ephod, without spending a lot of time on it, has to do with the ephod is a unit of measurement, or in other words, it has to do with commerce, buying and selling. Here, the prophet is seeing a prophetic picture of two women. They're representing that which is false, that which is demonic, that which is ungodly. They're represented by an unclean bird, a stork. They're seen carrying the ephod, the unit of measurement, back to the land of Shinar. Folks, Shinar is simply Babylon. They're seen at some future time moving this thing that represents commerce and buying and selling. They're seeing moving that back to the land of Babylon. Now folks, all of these things tie in together. The reason that I hold the position that Babylon in chapter 18 is the literal city of Babylon is for this reason and for many others. Remember at the very beginning of our study, we talked about, and you have this in your notes, we talked about the literal method of interpretation. I stated then that I would accept no view or no position in the book of Revelation that could not be arrived at using a literal method of interpretation. Now, literal interpretation includes this matter of accepting symbolism and figures of speech. However, when we use symbolism and figures of speech, we understand them to be that way. If Brother Ricky says to me, "I'm hungry enough to eat a horse." Folks, you don't run home and get your horse in the barn before Brother Ricky comes by. You know he's not talking about coming over your house and shooting your horse, and he's going to literally eat your horse. I had a friend that I was in Bible college with, Perry Walters, and he had a little saying when he was hungry. Here's what he'd say. He said, "I'm hungry enough to eat the kneecaps off a walrus." Now, folks, I don't know if a walrus has kneecaps or not. Just be honest about it. Do they? Anybody know that? I don't know. But he had a little saying, and that's what he said. I'm hungry enough to eat the kneecaps off a walrus. Now, when he said that, I never one time thought that he was accustomed to eating the kneecaps off of walruses. It was a figure of speech. I understood it as such. Folks, that's the way it is in the Bible. When we get to chapter 18, the word Babylon is used. Folks, there's absolutely no scriptural justification in chapter 18 of the book of Revelation. There's no scriptural justification for saying that Babylon means anything other than Babylon. Now, some Bible scholars that hold that Babylon is Rome go back to the Old Testament teachings of Isaiah and Ezekiel, the prophecies concerning the destruction of Babylon, where the Bible says, Isaiah chapters 13 and 14, I suppose. Jeremiah chapters 51 and 52. It's written in my notes in various places. Not written right here, and I'm not going to try to find it right now, but you can look those up yourself. But if you go back and you study those passages, the Bible mentions the destruction of Babylon, ancient Babylon. The Bible says in that prophecy, the Bible says that when that destruction happens, it's going to happen suddenly. It's going to be completely. And that once that destruction takes place, that Babylon will never be inhabited again. Folks, historically, going by history, that never happened. When the Medes and Persians came in and destroyed the city of Babylon or took control of the city of Babylon, there was some destruction that took place. But folks, the city of Babylon remained a city for many hundreds of years. Historically, you can go back. It's a matter of record. The city of Babylon was not utterly destroyed by the Medes and the Persians. People continued to dwell there. And even today, not far from the modern city of Iraq, Baghdad. I couldn't pull Baghdad up. Not far from the city of Baghdad today is the site of ancient Babylon, and there are even settlements even today on that site. Now, here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that many times prophecy has a near and a far fulfillment. The prophecies in Isaiah and Ezekiel prophesied surely the destruction of the destruction of Babylon by the Medes and Persians. That was the near fulfillment. The far fulfillment still hasn't taken place. Babylon, I believe, is going to be rebuilt, and then it's going to be utterly destroyed by God Himself. He's recorded it here in chapter 18, and this will fulfill to the very jot and tittle the prophecies of the Word of God. Verse number 4. The Bible says, well, I got to get back to Revelation before I read verse number 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Now, folks, I find verse number 4 an interesting and a troubling verse in Revelation chapter 18. It troubles me that this thought of the people of God, the true people of God, in the future tribulation time, being associated with the city of Babylon. Now, I want to see if I can just share some thoughts. I'm not going to give you the final word on it because I don't know the final word on it. But I want to share some thoughts with you in verse number 4. Here's a clear call to separation. I believe that primarily the verse number 4 is prophetic. It's talking about the future time. But it's a warning also to believers in our day to separate ourselves from that which is ungodly, from that which is dishonoring to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's been a call of separation to the people of God in every day. In your notes, I've listed a few things there. In Abraham, to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, to Lot in Genesis chapter 19, to Moses in Numbers chapter 16, to Israel in Isaiah and Jeremiah, to the church of today, the Bible declares and cautions us and commands us, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Amen. Now, from the prophetic point of view, as I thought about this verse, it was troubling. Now remember, the destruction here that we see in chapter 18 of the literal city of Babylon is going to take place at the very end of the tribulation period. I see verse number 4, the call to separate from the people of God, I see that as having to take place before the beginning of the vile judgments. Now remember our position on the three sets of judgments in the book of Revelation. The timeline in the book of Revelation is built upon the three sets of judgments. You've got the seven seal judgments and the seven trumpet judgments and the seven vials of God's wrath. I believe that the sixth trumpet, now remember, you've got the seals. Out of the seventh seal comes the seven trumpets. When you get to the sixth trumpet judgment, remember that judgment? That's where you've got the great army of 200 million that sweeps across the earth and kills vast numbers of people. I believe that that is a demonic army. I do not hold the view that is the armies of China or any of the other Eastern nations. I believe that is purely a demonic army. You say, Brother Kirkpatrick, how do you come to that conclusion? I come to that conclusion based on a literal interpretation of the Scriptures. I don't see the symbolism that some people see in the different things that are recorded in that judgment. Nonetheless, here's what I wanted to get to on that. I believe that the sixth trumpet judgment ends right at the middle of the tribulation period. Remember that judgment? In that judgment, well, as a matter of fact, in the fifth trumpet judgment and the sixth trumpet judgment, we have time associated with those. The sixth trumpet, that army, that demonic army, or whatever army you want to make that be, remember the Bible says that it continues for a year and a month. And is it a week and a day, I believe it is? Or an hour and a day, whatever it is. You can go back and read that. It takes place, it ends at the middle of the tribulation period. The seventh trumpet, when it sounds, from the seventh trumpet issues forth the seven vial judgments. They begin to be poured out, and as they poured out, they continue this time element through the book of Revelation. And when the seventh vial judgment is poured out at the end of chapter 16, it brings us all the way through to the end of the tribulation period. Now, the call to separation here in my mind would have to take place before, if indeed, and I believe that this is the case, if indeed the application of verse 4 is for that time period, is for the tribulation period, I believe that this call here, the time period of verse number 4, would have to be before the vile judgments begin to be poured out. Now notice what the Bible says here, verse number 4. It says, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. You see, as the vile judgments are poured out, the Bible says, on all of those who have the mark of the beast. Now remember, as we studied the various vile judgments, I said one of the most remarkable things in my mind about those judgments is the supernatural element involved there that God is able to pour out those judgments on those that have received the mark of the beast, while at the same time withholding those judgments from those that are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I tell you what, that is an exciting thing. That's an exciting thing that God is able to do that, and God does it. And He warns here, He warns the people of God, come out of Babylon, come out of Babylon. And folks, this principle applies. It doesn't matter what you think Babylon is, whether you think Babylon is Babylon or whether you think Babylon is Rome, that doesn't make a bit of difference in the world with what I'm talking about now. God is saying, listen, I want you to come out. Because if you stay there, you're going to be a partaker. You're going to be harmed, as it were, by the vile judgments that are going to be poured out. Folks, I can't imagine. I can't imagine that any believer, after mid-tribulation, when the decree goes out for those that want to buy and sell to receive the mark of the beast, I can't imagine that any believer can actually stay inside the city of Babylon without being found out. I don't believe that they can live there. I don't believe that they can hide there. That's going to be the base of the operation of the beast and the false prophet, and of course Satan, the false trinity of that latter part of the tribulation period. But God commands the people of God in every age to come out from among the world and to be separate to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 5, the iniquity of Babylon is full, and the time is at hand for God to send judgment. The Bible says, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. In verse number 6, it says, reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled to her double. Part of the meaning of the word double is the double judgment, I believe, of the religious aspect of Babylon in chapter 17 and the economic political aspect of Babylon in chapter 18. But folks, I also believe it speaks of the severity of the judgment. God is going to reward double to Babylon for all of her sins. The city is lifted up in pride in verse 7. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Folks, the city is so lifted up in pride. Remember, this city, wherever it is in this day, is the commercial capital of the world. Now folks, wherever it is, I believe it's the city of Babylon. You'll accept whatever position you'll accept on that. But wherever it is, whether it's in Babylon, or whether it's in Rome, or whether it's some other city, well, I wouldn't know where that other city would be, but whether it's some other city, there's coming a day when the commercial strength, the economic strength of the world is going to move from New York City. It's going to move from the city of Geneva. It's going to move from every other city on earth that is known as a great commercial and city of economic strength. And it's going to be moved to the site of Satan's final empire. The pride is great. She thinks she's untouchable. I believe that in this case, Satan believes that he's done what could not be done. He has reestablished. He has reestablished in his mind. He's reestablished the empire, the beginning empire that started this attack against God and all that's godly. He's reestablished it in his mind in the face of Almighty God. He thinks that he's won. He thinks that he cannot be defeated. But folks, the truth of the matter is, God in 1 hour of one day is going to destroy all that man has created. And this great financial capital, this great political capital of the world, is going to fall into utter destruction in 1 hour of one day, and all the merchants of the world, all the great people of the world, are going to mourn and lament and wail because of that destruction.